Digital Fortress by Dan Brown, read by Patrick Cohen.
This book is 372 pages long. Digital Fortress by Dan Brown. The following material appears on the book's dust jacket. From an electrifying new voice in suspense fiction comes Digital Fortress, a lightning-paced thriller that U.S. intelligence analysts are calling utterly plausible. Chillingly current and filled with more intelligence secrets than Tom Clancy, Digital Fortress transports the reader deep within the most powerful intelligence organization on Earth, the National Security Agency, NSA. An ultra-secret, multi-billion-dollar agency which, until now, less than 3% of Americans knew existed. When the NSA's invincible code-breaking machine encounters a mysterious code it cannot break, the agency calls in its head cryptographer, Susan Fletcher, a brilliant and beautiful mathematician. What she uncovers sends shockwaves through the corridors of power. The NSA is being held hostage, not by guns or bombs, but by a code so ingeniously complex that, if released, it would cripple U.S. intelligence. Caught in an accelerating tempest of secrecy and lies, Susan Fletcher battles to save the agency she believes in. Betrayed on all sides, she finds herself fighting not only for her country, but for her life, and in the end, for the life of the man she loves. From the underground hallways of power to the skyscrapers of Tokyo to the towering cathedrals of Spain, a desperate race unfolds. It is a battle for survival, a crucial bid to destroy a creation of inconceivable genius, an impregnable code-writing formula that threatens to obliterate the post-Cold War balance of power forever. Dan Brown is a graduate of and has taught English at Phillips Exeter Academy. He received his BA in English from Amherst College. He lives in New Hampshire. Prologue. Plaza de España, Seville, Spain, 11 a.m. It is said that in death, all things become clear. Ensite Encado now knew it was true. As he clutched his chest and fell to the ground in pain, he realized the horror of his mistake. People appeared, hovering over him, trying to help. But Encado did not want help. It was too late for that. Trembling, he raised his left hand and held his fingers outward. "Look at my hand!" The faces around him stared, but he could tell they did not understand. On his finger was an engraved golden ring. For an instant, the markings glimmered in the Andalusian sun. Ensite Encado knew it was the last light he would ever see. Chapter 1. They were in the Smoky Mountains at their favorite bed and breakfast. David was smiling down at her. "What do you say, gorgeous? Marry me?" Looking up from their canopy bed, she knew he was the one. Forever. As she stared into his deep green eyes, somewhere in the distance a deafening bell began to ring. It was pulling him away. She reached for him, but her arms clutched empty air. It was the sound of the phone that fully awoke Susan Fletcher from her dream. She gasped, sat up in bed, and fumbled for the receiver. "Hello? Susan, it's David. Did I wake you?" She smiled, rolling over in bed. "I was just dreaming of you. Come over and play." He laughed. "It's still dark out." "Mmm," she moaned sensuously. "Then definitely come over and play. We can sleep in before we head north." David let out a frustrated sigh. "That's why I'm calling. It's about our trip. I've got to postpone. Susan was suddenly wide awake. What? I'm sorry. I've got to leave town. I'll be back by tomorrow. We can head up first thing in the morning. We'll still have 2 days. But I made reservations, Susan said, hurt. I got our old room at Stone Manor. I know, but tonight was supposed to be special, to celebrate 6 months. You do remember we're engaged, don't you? Susan, he sighed. I really can't go into it now. They've got a car waiting. I'll call you from the plane and explain everything. Plane? She repeated. What's going on? Why would the university... It's not the university. I'll phone and explain later. I've really got to go. They're calling for me. I'll be in touch. I promise. David! She cried. What's... But it was too late. David had hung up. Susan Fletcher lay awake for hours waiting for him to call back. The phone never rang. Later that afternoon, Susan sat dejected in the tub. She submerged herself in the soapy water and tried to forget Stone Manor and the Smoky Mountains. Where could he be? She wondered. Why hasn't he called? Gradually, the water around her went from hot to lukewarm and finally to cold. She was about to get out when her cordless phone buzzed to life. Susan bolted upright, sloshing water on the floor as she grappled for the receiver she'd left on the sink. David? It's Strathmore, the voice replied. Susan slumped. Oh. She was unable to hide her disappointment. Good afternoon, Commander. Hoping for a younger man? The voice chuckled. No, sir, Susan said, embarrassed. It's not how it... Sure it is, he laughed. David Becker's a good man. Don't ever lose him. Thank you, sir. The commander's voice turned suddenly stern. Susan, I'm calling because I need you in here pronto. She tried to focus. It's Saturday, sir. We don't usually... I know, he said calmly. It's an emergency. Susan sat up. Emergency? She had never heard the word cross Commander Strathmore's lips. An emergency? In crypto? She couldn't imagine. Yes, sir, she paused. I'll be there as soon as I can. Make it sooner, Strathmore hung up. Susan Fletcher stood wrapped in a towel and dripped on the neatly folded clothes she'd set out the night before. Hiking shorts, a sweater for the cool mountain evenings, and the new lingerie she'd bought for the nights. Depressed, she went to her closet for a clean blouse and skirt. An emergency? In crypto? As she went downstairs, Susan wondered how the day could get much worse. She was about to find out. 30,000 feet above a dead calm ocean, David Becker stared miserably from the Learjet 60's small oval window. He'd been told the phone on board was out of order, and he'd never had a chance to call Susan. What am I doing here? He grumbled to himself. But the answer was simple. There were men to whom you just didn't say no. Mr. Becker, the loudspeaker crackled. We'll be arriving in half an hour. Becker nodded gloomily to the invisible voice. Wonderful. He pulled the shade and tried to sleep. But he could only think of her. Chapter 3 Susan's Volvo sedan rolled to a stop in the shadow of the 10-foot-high barbed cyclone fence. A young guard placed his hand on the roof. ID, please. Susan obliged and settled in for the usual half-minute wait. The officer ran her card through a computerized scanner. Finally, he looked up. Thank you, Miss Fletcher. He gave an imperceptible sign, and the gate swung open. Half a mile ahead, Susan repeated the entire procedure at an equally imposing electrified fence. "Come on, guys. I've only been through here a million times." As she approached the final checkpoint, a stocky sentry with two attack dogs and a machine gun glanced down at her license plate and waved her through. She followed K-9 Road for another 250 yards and pulled into Employee Lot C. Unbelievable, she thought. 26,000 employees and a $12 billion budget. You'd think they could make it through the weekend without me. Susan gunned the car into her reserve spot and killed the engine. After crossing the landscape terrace and entering the main building, she cleared two more internal checkpoints and finally arrived at the windowless tunnel that led to the new wing. A voice scan booth blocked her entry. National Security Agency, NSA. Crypto facility, authorized personnel only. The armed guard looked up. "Afternoon, Miss Fletcher." Susan smiled tiredly. "Hi, John. Didn't expect you today." "Yeah, me neither." She leaned toward the parabolic microphone. "Susan Fletcher," she stated clearly. The computer instantly confirmed the frequency concentrations in her voice, and the gate clicked open. She stepped through. The guard admired Susan as she began her walk down the cement causeway. He noticed that her strong hazel eye seemed distant today, but her cheeks had a flushed freshness, and her shoulder-length auburn hair looked newly blown dry. Trailing her was the faint scent of Johnson's baby powder. His eyes fell the length of her slender torso, to her white blouse with the bra barely visible beneath, to her knee-length khaki skirt, and finally to her legs. Susan Fletcher's legs. "Hard to imagine they support a 170 IQ, he mused to himself. He stared after her a long time. Finally, he shook his head as she disappeared in the distance. As Susan reached the end of the tunnel, a circular, vault-like door blocked her way. The enormous letters read, "Crypto." Sighing, she placed her hand inside the recessed cipher box and entered her 5-digit PIN. Seconds later, the 12-ton slab of steel began to revolve. She tried to focus, but her thoughts reeled back to him. David Becker. The only man she'd ever loved. The youngest full professor at Georgetown University, and a brilliant foreign language specialist, he was practically a celebrity in the world of academia. Born with an eidetic memory and a love of languages, he'd mastered 6 Asian dialects, as well as Spanish, French, and Italian. His university lectures on etymology and linguistics were standing room only, and he